Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning and welcome to our program. I'll start today by reading a series of quotes taken from Alice A. Bailey's book called The Problems of Humanity. This information was given through her by the master Diwal Kul, and although written after the Second World War, it's even more relevant in today's world. The master DK touches upon the historical background of humanity's problems and offers logical advice as to how these problems can be solved, namely through goodwill and the sharing of the world's resources. The master DK states that goodwill is man's first attempt to express the love of God. Its results on earth will be peace. It is so simple and practical that people fail to appreciate its potency or its scientific and dynamic effect. One person sincerely practicing goodwill in a family can completely change its attitudes. Goodwill practiced among groups in any nation, by political and religious parties in any nation, and among all the nations of the world can revolutionize the world. The key to humanity's trouble, focusing as it has in the economic difficulties of the past 200 years and in the theological impasse of the Orthodox churches, has been to take and not give, to accept and not share, to grasp and not to distribute. This has involved the breaking of a law which has placed humanity in a position of positive guilt. War is a dire penalty which mankind has had to pay for this great sin of separateness. Humanity has never really lived up to the teaching given it. Spiritual impression, whether conveyed by the Christ, by Krishna, or by Buddha, and passed on to the masses by their disciples, has not yet been expressed as it was hoped. Men do not live up to what they already know. They fail to make practical their information. They short-circuit the light. They do not discipline themselves. Greedy desire and unlawful ambition control, and not the inner knowledge. Most men today think in terms of their own nation or group, and this is their largest concept. They have progressed beyond the stage of their individual physical and mental well-being and are visioning the possibility of adding their quota of usefulness and of stability to the national whole. They are seeking to be cooperative, to understand and to further the good of the community. This is descriptive of many thousands in every nation. This spirit and attitude will someday characterize the attitude of nation to nation. At present, this is not so, and a very different psychology rules. Nations seek and demand the best for themselves, no matter what the cost to others. They regard this as a right attitude and as characteristic of good citizenship. Nations are colored by hatreds and prejudices, many of which are as unwarranted today as foul language in a religious meeting. Nations are split and divided within themselves by racial barriers, by party differences, and by religious attitudes. These inevitably bring disorder and finally disaster. An intense spirit of nationalism, assertive and boastful, distinguishes the citizens of most countries. particularly in relation to each other. This breeds dislike, distrust, and the disruption of right human relations. All nations are guilty of these qualities and attitudes, expressed according to their individual culture and genius. All nations, as all families, have also in them groups or individuals who are recognized sources of trouble to the well-intentioned remainder. There are nations within the international community which are and have been, for a long time, disrupting agencies. History indicates a long past of battle, of war, of changing frontiers, of the discovery and prompt annexation of new territory involving the subjugation of the original inhabitants, sometimes greatly to their benefit, but always inexcusable. The spirit of nationalism and its growth is the background of modern history as taught in our schools, feeding national pride, engendering national enmities, racial hatreds, and jealousies. History concerns itself with the lines of demarcation between countries and with the type of rule each country developed. These lines of demarcation are fiercely held, and passports indicate the crystallization of the idea. History portrays the fierce determination of every nation to preserve its boundaries at any cost, to keep its culture and civilization intact, to add to them when possible, and to share nothing with any other nation except for commercial profit, for which international legislation is provided. Yet all the time, humanity is one humanity, and the products of the earth belong to all. The wrong attitude has not only fostered the sense of separateness, but has led to the exploitation of the weaker groups by the stronger, and the wrecking of the economic life of the masses by a mere handful of powerful groups. Ancient habits of mass thinking and of mass reaction are difficult to overcome. It is here that the main battleground of the world is found. Public opinion will have to be re-educated. The nations are reverting to the deep-seated modes of behavior and thought which have characterized them for generations. We need, in the general interest, to face up to our past, to recognize the new trends, to renounce the old ways of thinking and acting if humanity is not to descend to greater depths than in the last war. The distribution of the world's resources and the settled unity of the peoples of the world are in reality one and the same thing. For behind all modern wars lies a fundamental economic problem. Solve that, and wars will very largely cease. In considering, therefore, the preservation of peace, as sought for and emphasized by the United Nations at this time, it becomes immediately apparent that peace, security, and world stability are primarily tied up with the economic problem. When there is freedom from want, one of the major sources and causes of war will disappear. Where there is uneven distribution of the world's riches, and where there is a situation in which some nations have or take everything, and other nations lack the necessities of life, it is obvious that there is a trouble-breeding factor there and that something must be done. Therefore, we should deal with world unity and peace primarily from the angle of the economic problem. It is essential for the future happiness and progress of humanity that there should be no return to the old ways, whether political, religious, or economic. Therefore, in handling these problems, we should seek out the wrong conditions which have brought humanity to its present state of almost cataclysmic disaster. These conditions were the result of religious faiths which have not moved forward in their thinking for hundreds of years, of economic systems which lay the emphasis upon the accumulation of riches and material possessions, and which leave all the power and the produce of the earth in the hands of a relatively few men, while the rest of humanity struggle for a bare subsistence, and of political regimes run by the corrupt, the totalitarian-minded, and those who love place and power more than they love their fellow men. Security, happiness, and peaceful relations are desired by all. Until, however, the great powers, in collaboration with the little nations, have solved the economic problem and have realized that the resources of the earth belong to not one nation, but to humanity as a whole, there will be no peace. The oil of the world, the mineral wealth, the wheat, the sugar, and the grains belong to all men everywhere. They are essential to the daily living of the everyday man. The true problem of the United Nations is a twofold one. It involves the right distribution of the world's resources so that there may be freedom from want. It involves also the bringing about of a true equality of opportunity and of education for all men everywhere. The nations which have a wealth of resources are not owners. They are custodians of the world's riches and hold them in trust for their fellow men. The time will inevitably come when, in the interest of peace and security, the capitalists in the various nations will be forced to realize this and will also be forced to substitute the principle of sharing for the ancient principle which has hitherto governed them of greedy grabbing. There was a time, 100 years or more ago, when a just distribution of the world's wealth would have been impossible. That is not true today. Statistics exist. Computations have been made. Investigation has penetrated into every field of the Earth's resources. And these investigations, computations, and statistics have been published and are available to the public. The men in power of every nation know well exactly what food, minerals, oil, and other necessities are available for worldwide use upon just and equitable lines. But these commodities are reserved by the nations involved as talking and bargaining points. The problem of distribution is no longer difficult once the food of the world is freed from politics and from capitalism. It must also be remembered that the means of distribution by sea, rail, and air are adequate. The United Nations, through its assembly and committees, must be supported. There is as yet no other organization to which man can hopefully look. Therefore, he must support the United Nations, but at the same time, let this group of world leaders know what is needed. The World Economic Council, or whatever body represents the resources of the world, must free itself from fraudulent politics, capitalistic influence, and its devious scheming. It must set the resources of the earth free for the use of humanity. This will be a lengthy task, but it will be possible when the world need is better appreciated. An enlightened public opinion will make the decisions of the Economic Council practical and possible. Sharing and cooperation must be taught instead of greed and competition. There must be freedom to travel everywhere, in any direction, and in any country. By means of this free intercourse, members of the human family may get to know each other and to appreciate each other. Passports and visas should be discontinued because they are symbols of the great heresy of separateness. There is no mystical or impractical program. It does not work through the processes of exposing, undermining, or attacked. It emphasizes a new politics, that is, politics which are based upon the principle of bringing about right human relations. The trained use of power on the side of goodwill and on behalf of right human relations will be demonstrated as possible, and the present unhappy state of world affairs can be changed. This will be done. Not through the usual warlike measures of the past or the enforced will of some aggressive or wealthy group, but through the weight of a trained public opinion, an opinion which will be based on goodwill, on an intelligent understanding of the needs of humanity, on a determination to bring about right human relations, and on the recognition that the problems with which humanity is today confronted can be solved through goodwill. And that concludes the quote sourced from The Problems of Humanity by Alice A. Bailey. And now we'll have a short little interlude of Eyes of the Dark from It's a Mood Music. Thank you. This next article, titled The Coming Century by Benjamin Kremer's Master, was featured in the July-August 1998 double issue of Share International magazine. He explains how goodwill shall reconstruct our world. When mankind nears a moment of major crisis, it reacts in one of two ways. Either it falls into apathy, awaiting fatalistically the inevitable, or else it is galvanized into indiscriminate action and runs in all directions without sense or purpose. Today, at this time of change, it is the latter reaction which holds sway. Everywhere, men act as if the future no longer exists, as if they represent the meaning, the ending of meaning and value on earth. Greed has taken hold of their hearts and senses, and as if in a dream, they walk wild-eyed to the precipice. Thus it is that men approach the coming century, many in fear and most in doubt. They know nothing of the marvels which await mankind's astonished eyes. They know less of the wonders which they themselves will one day perform. Ignorant and afraid, they grasp blindly at all that they can hold in greedy hands, thinking that thus they may be safe and secure from future loss. While many live thus, there is a growing number who are awakening to a different view, who see the possibility of undreamed harmony, and who resist both apathy and chaos. As yet they are the minority, but soon the forces of chaos will succumb to their vision of justice and peace. A new world will be born from their fearless hold on life and creative action. These men and women of goodwill will challenge the old concepts of division and strife, and stage by stage will reconstruct the world. Thus will it be. Not alone, but guided and inspired by Maitreya and his brothers, this group of stout hearts will wax strong and influential, eagerly encouraged by the following masses. In a short time, major inroads will be made into solving the many problems which afflict mankind today, hunger and oppressive poverty, and the denial of basic rights, destructive competition above among the nations, and environmental decay, ethnic bigotry, and the army of refugees, which results, above all, the scourge of war. When men realize that these problems are solvable, naught will for long delay their ending. With a will, men will tackle them one by one with growing understanding of the urgency and the means. Maitreya and his growing group of masters will show the way, outline the possibilities and pitfalls, encourage and inspire. Men themselves will set in place the framework of the new world, born out of necessity, out of a longing for justice and peace, for the establishment of brotherhood and the rule of divine law. Thank you for listening. That comes to the end of our talk for today. If you would like further information, you can visit the website shareinternational.org or email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you once again for your time. Peace be with you.
Your language.